This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, March 28th. I'm Alex Osola for the Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, the companies that make chargers for electric vehicles are building in new protections against cyber attacks. We'll hear what these companies are doing and more about the threat of EV hacking from WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter Catherine Stubb. And then, after crypto exchange FTX crumbled in late 2022, a group of lawyers and advisors spent more than half a year and millions of dollars exploring the idea of restarting the company. WSJ reporter Alexander Osipovich tells us why it didn't happen and why some people are disappointed. But first, because of a new UK law, companies that make EV chargers are beefing up their protection against cyber attacks. WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter Catherine Stupp writes that the redesign has been a challenge, but it's forcing companies to improve security. She joins me now with more about the threat of cyber attacks on EVs. Catherine, why are companies doing this?
So there's a new law that took effect in the UK in 2022 that required companies that provide EV chargers to homes and offices to comply with certain cybersecurity rules. And a whole bunch of companies wrote to the UK regulator and asked for extra time, basically a waiver, so that they could make the changes that they needed to comply, which means they weren't complying with this rule to begin with.
What's so different about these new requirements?
Some researchers I've talked to said it's still a young industry, so maybe some of these companies should have been meeting these requirements before. Some of the changes were pretty basic security fixes. But one of the key parts is that they had to implement a kind of anti-tampering component, which could be software or hardware, basically to make it harder for hackers to actually enter an EV charging device and make changes to it.
It sounds like these measures could protect against EV hacking. How big of a problem is that?
We haven't seen any cyber attacks that have had very serious effects or safety implications so far. But we've seen security researchers carry out tests on EVs and on charging infrastructure that raise concerns about what could be possible. And we have seen data breaches of EV chargers where we've seen cyber attacks on chargers that resulted in almost a type of vandalism where there was something displayed on the screen that shouldn't have been. And this is alarming to a lot of cybersecurity researchers who say, well, if this is possible, that shows that there really are gaps here that need to be addressed.
How could rules like these have an impact outside the UK?
So a few of the companies that I've talked to don't only do business in the UK. And a few of them have said any changes that we make to the products that we're going to sell in the UK, we'll make those to the chargers that we sell everywhere. Because from a business point of view, that's what makes sense. We're investing this money now. We might as well sell more secure products everywhere. So really everyone gets to benefit. The UK has been a front runner in regulating EV charging security, but the European Union is coming out with some new rules that will do something similar to affect EV charging security. And the US doesn't have binding rules on this, but the charging companies are selling there. And we do see regulators asking at least for plans from states in the US on how companies will address cybersecurity to receive some federal money.
How are these rules affecting the companies that make chargers?
The companies that I've talked to have said this really did take a lot of work for them to comply with. One Norwegian company, Zaptec, told me that they spent between 10 to 18 months designing and testing the new technology that they were going to build into their chargers just to comply with this one law in the UK. Another Swedish company told me they spent around $2 million on manpower developing the technology to do this. And there is another company, a Spanish company called Wallbox, that also sells in the US, that took a charger off the market. So we're seeing it is having big effects.
That was WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter Catherine Stupp. Coming up, why some FTX customers say the failed reboot of the crypto exchange was a missed opportunity after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
In November 2022, FTX, then one of the world's largest crypto exchanges, collapsed. The company filed for bankruptcy, and criminal cases were opened against its former CEO, Sam Bankman-Fried. He was convicted of fraud and conspiracy and is set to be sentenced today. But while all this was going on, the lawyers and advisors running FTX's bankruptcy explored the possibility of rebooting the company. WSJ reporter Alexander Osipovich joins me now with more. Alex, what happened to FTX after it collapsed?
So FTX, as an exchange, shut down, and new management took over, run by a guy named John Ray, who is a veteran of various bankruptcies and restructurings. He's famous for having run the Enron bankruptcy. And they began to secure assets, figure out what they had, where they could recover value. Because at the end of the day, their job is to return money to creditors, people who invested in FTX or loaned money to FTX or were customers that had assets on the FTX exchange.
Yeah, what did happen to those FTX customers who still had assets there?
They have been in limbo ever since November 2022. In some cases, people put substantial amounts of money on the exchange. There are people out there who put much of their life savings on FTX because they believed it to be a stable and honorable business. And these people are anxious to eventually get their money back. They've been waiting for the outcome of this long-running bankruptcy process.
Okay, in the middle of this, some people were interested in reviving FTX. Who was looking into this?
So when you're running a bankruptcy like this, you have two options on a high level. You can just liquidate everything you have, sell the assets, get cash, and return cash to people, or you can try to restructure the business and have a new operating business and basically give people a stake in that. There were people, especially crypto traders and crypto investors, who thought there might be value in restarting FTX. Maybe not with that exact name, maybe not having the brand, which is arguably tarnished, but using some of its technology, using the group of customers it had together, and bringing that back online in some way, and then giving people basically shares of that. There were creditors who advocated this idea, and the team running FTX, John Ray's team, investigated the possibility of doing it.
You mentioned some of the ways that this FTX reboot would have been similar, use the technology and things from the original organization. But how would it have been different from the original FTX?
There were a variety of discussions about how this would work. Initially, there was some investigation into actually literally restarting FTX, taking the technology, putting it back up. But the bankruptcy estate concluded pretty quickly that it wasn't really feasible to do that. However, there was a lot of interest from different crypto firms in doing a deal where they would basically get the FTX customers. A number of these bidders ran their own crypto exchanges, and they wanted to have old FTX customers come over to their exchange and basically have some incentives to trade there. Because FTX was huge in its day. It had a tremendous number of customers, a lot of big crypto whales, and any startup exchange would really like to get some of that.
There were all these proposals floating around. Where does all that stand now?
It is basically kaput. The process has basically died. The management of FTX said that none of the bidders came in with sufficient capital to justify doing a deal. And they said it would be very complex to get the deal across the finish line. And the whole effort petered out.
Some people, including some former FTX customers, say that this is a missed opportunity. Why do they say that?
There are some former FTX customers who are very unhappy about the fact that FTX 2.0, as they call it, did not happen. They feel like there was a giant opportunity there. It would have given them a chance to get more of their money back. And they were very disappointed that FTX decided not to pursue this. A big issue behind that is that the customers are set to get, in theory, 100 cents on the dollar of what they're owed. But there's a big caveat with that. And that's because the way that bankruptcy works is they are going to get 100 cents on the dollar based on the price of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies in November 2022, when FTX filed for Chapter 11. The issue is that crypto has gone up a lot since then. Bitcoin has more than tripled. It was recently hitting record prices. And they feel if they get paid back in the cash value of their crypto from November 2022, they're getting a raw deal. Many of these former customers feel that a restart or some kind of FTX 2.0 option would be a good way for them to get some of that upside.
Right now, FTX 2.0 is a no-go. Could the company be revived in the future?
It's exceedingly unlikely that FTX will be revived. The only chance I would see is if some bidder comes in with an offer that's substantially better than the offers that have already come in. But they ran this process. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen at this point.
That was our reporter, Alexander Osipovich. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.